The reading today is taken from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. It's on page 965 in the Bibles. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means "God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. He did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I hope you all brought your mulled wine, coffee, this morning. I know that this message of Christ's birth is one we hear every year at this time. And sometimes maybe we can hear messages and we think, oh, we've heard this all before. And so I'm hoping that this morning I'm able to draw out some things that maybe you haven't heard before about his birth and how it came about. And there's a lot to it. I've got a lot of notes, and I normally don't do a lot of notes. I normally do a bullet point for like 4 or 5 minutes talking, so I'm going to have to try and rein myself in to get through this. Also, my mum's promised that you're going to be able to explain this to your kids later. So hopefully I nail the points that you need to fill in those blanks for them. So you've just heard Matthew 1, 18 through 25 read to you. Now, I want to pull out a few points for me that stand out from this passage. The first one is that it says Joseph was faithful to the law. Now, he's going to need to be faithful to law and to understand the law to be able to fully understand some of the things which are about to happen in this journey. Also, it says Joseph is the son of David. Now, this is going to be a very important point, and we'll talk more about these as we go on. So he was faithful to the law. He was the son of David. And also, it says that she would give birth to a son, and you were to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. So he was faithful to the law. He was the son of David. And this baby was going to save his people from their sins. So these are three key points that we need to keep in mind as we go through this. Now, I want to just talk about the shepherds briefly. You know, because this is going to set up what we're then going to go on to explore. So the shepherds were told that Messiah had been born. And in Luke 2:12, it says, "This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Then in Luke 2:15, it says, "The angels departed and the shepherds said, 'Let's go to Bethlehem straight to see Mary and Joseph.'" Have you ever wondered why they knew that they should go to Bethlehem? They were only really given two clues. One, you'll find a baby wrapped in cloth. Two, lying in a manger. Now, for us here, a baby being wrapped in cloth does not sound that unusual, right? I mean, most of the time you have a baby and you wrap them up. So, okay, well, one clue. Thanks for that. The second is lying in a manger. Okay, that's a little strange. You're going to find a baby in a manger. But they went, and they went straight to Bethlehem, and they found Mary and Joseph straight away. Now, how did they find them straight away? They had two clues. He didn't tell them, you'll find them at this number door, in this location. So how did they know? Did they go play knock and run? You know, they just go and knock on people's little houses and hide behind a bush. Maybe a bush would be a bad idea, because sometimes you had one which was burning. Hide somewhere else, see who it was that appeared at the door. Oh, look, we found Mary and Joseph. I mean, you think about the wise men, they at least had a star to help them out, right? Not the shepherds, they were given two clues, and I think not very good clues if they didn't know where they were going. Now, this sets up the rest of what I want to talk about, because is there more to this than we maybe realize? And this is something that we've gone on to find out more about in the last few years, really. And the more we find out, the more mind-blowing it is that actually all the details matter in this story. And it's already an amazing story. But actually, it gets even more incredible as we look into some of these details. See, Micah 4:8. It says, "As for you, watchtower of the flock, stronghold of daughter Zion, the former dominion will be restored to you. Kingship will come to daughter Jerusalem." And then in Micah 5:2, it says, "But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel." See, Micah prophesied that to this watchtower, or Migdal Eder, would come a king who'd bring restoration and dominion, and he would be a ruler over Israel. Not any Migdal Eder or watchtower. It was a specific one. The Talmud, a collection of writings about Jewish law, among other things, talks about a specific area where sheep had to be raised to be eligible for sacrifice in the temple. And this tower was within walking distance of Jerusalem. So where was the tower? What was the tower? And why was it there? In Genesis 35:19-21, it says, "Rachel died and was buried on the way to Ephratah, a part of Bethlehem. Over her tomb, Jacob set up a pillar. And to that day, that pillar marks that location of Rachel's tomb. And Israel, or Jacob, moved on again and pitched his tent beyond Migdal Eder." So Bethlehem Ephratah and Migdal Eder are specific locations in Bethlehem, walking distance to Jerusalem. Because the fields surrounding Bethlehem were a short distance and they had some of the best pastures, they were dedicated for lambs for sacrificial use. So Migdal Eder, the tower of the flock, was in this location where generations of shepherds, possibly even David, raised lambs for sacrifice at the temple. Now, I've put a couple pictures up here. Just give you an idea of what sort of the pastures around Bethlehem would have looked like, and an example of a Migdal Eder. And we're going to talk more about what the Migdal Eder, or the Tower of the Flock, is and what it was used for. A friend of ours in Memphis actually designed a model of it. So you're going to see pictures of that, so you have a bit of a visual as we go through. So the tower, what was it for? So the top of the tower was where the shepherds would have watched over the lambs or the sheep. The bottom portion of that tower was kind of the care facility, to make sure the sacrificial lambs were protected and safe and inspected by the shepherds. Lambs were placed in a stone manger for their protection in the shelter, until inspected and deemed fit for sacrifice, without spot or blemish or broken bones. During Passover, thousands of lambs were brought from this tower to Jerusalem by the shepherds through the sheep gate to be sacrificed by the Levitical priests in the temple. Now, shepherds knew that these lambs were born to die. They knew how carefully they had to look after them. They knew the laws, the standards that they had to meet, that these lambs would be without spot or blemish or broken bones. Shepherds wrapping them in swaddling cloths for their protection. Possibly even using robes from the Levitical priests. Some people think this could have been possibly even stained with blood from previous sacrifices that were made. See, lambs were born for sacrifice, cared for by shepherds who would have taken them to Jerusalem for sacrifice. Every sacrificial lamb was born within the sound of the shofar blown at the temple in Jerusalem. So let's look again at these scriptures from Micah. What was prophesied about Jesus' birth? What did the angel say to Joseph in Matthew 1, 18 through 25, that set the scene for this? Said that he was born as a son of David. Joseph was a son of David. So the Messiah would be born through the line of David. Why did he have to be born through the line of David? Because God said that his throne would be established forever. So Jesus had to come through that line. We actually have friends in Israel. We were talking to, I think it was maybe even last year, and she was saying she's an Orthodox Jew, so she doesn't believe that Jesus is the Jewish Messiah. She believes he's still to come. But while talking to her, she said, my family comes from that line of David. And so we said, wow, that is crazy. We said, so how do you see your sons, your brothers? And she said, yeah, sometimes I will catch myself thinking, could my brother be this Messiah that we're waiting for? Now, obviously, we realize he's already come, but can you imagine, like, thinking that? I come from this line, and so it's well known that this Messiah has to come through the line of David. And when Herod decreed the census in Luke 2:4, it says Joseph had to go to Bethlehem, the town of David. Why? Because he was from his line. See, God had all these details in place. You know, we often say they went to the inn and there was no room for them. Well, where do we go? Some random location. No, they weren't meant to be in any other location. God had this specific location set aside for them. This specific location for Jesus to qualify for sacrifice on earth. See, Jesus' birth fulfilled the law and it fulfilled prophecy, as did his death. He was born in the fields as the first male Lamb of God. He would be Korban, which means basically set aside, holy, set aside unto God. See, Mary and Joseph, led by the Spirit, found the only place that had room for them, a birthing place for sacrificial lambs. Because of the angel's visit, it would have been a big aha moment for Joseph when he realized this is where we're going. These are the things that the angel said to me. He would have known what was taking place, why they were in this specific location. Joseph was faithful to the law, so he would have known what was about to take place and where for a sacrifice he would have to be born to qualify for that. And Joseph would have understood Migdal Eder and what that would have meant coming up. He also would have understood that this was going to be no normal adoptive situation. That this son he was going to have to raise was not going to be your average child. The angel said, "And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." The shepherds were sent to the very place for sacrificial lambs. Instead of a lamb, they found a baby. That would have been unusual. For us, wrapping a baby is what we all do. For them, it's not. That's not a normal thing. The wrapping of babies is unusual. It's the wrapping of lambs was normal. And so the shepherds would have found a baby wrapped in cloth for sacrificial lambs. The shepherds understood where the angels were directing them. There could only be one place. Why swaddling clothes? Why a manger? Why this specific tower that they had to go to, and why they had to inspect him? They didn't need many clues from the angel, because this is what they did. They inspected lambs for sacrifice. See, Jesus was born as the lamb among lambs, born for sacrifice. He was born in the same place, and he received the same care as the previous sacrificial lambs. The angels told the shepherds to go and see, as they would have for every other lamb, and check if he was spotless, without blemish, and without broken bones. Jesus was that perfect sacrifice. Joseph was the father who listened and obeyed the visit of the angels. Joseph was destined, as Mary, to be from that line of David, so that Jesus could come through them. Joseph's visit by the angel was an enlightening moment for him, but today it's an enlightening moment for us. And even for me and my family over the last few years, as we hear more about the details in this, is unbelievable. It takes this story to a whole other level. See, Jesus, from his first breath, was positioned for sacrifice. The angels affirmed that Jesus was qualified to be that Lamb of God according to heaven, but also on earth. He met all of the standards for sacrifice on earth. So Jesus' birth fulfilled the sacrificial law of heaven and earth. One, born as the lamb among lambs, the firstborn male for sacrifice. Two, born in Bethlehem, laid in a manger of the tower of the flock. He was wrapped in swaddling clothes. The shepherds went to see and inspect, as every lamb born for sacrifice. Born within the sound of the shofar from the temple in Jerusalem. He would follow the path of previous lambs when he went to the temple in Jerusalem. And he was born in the line of David to be king. So the band are going to come up as we come to the end. See, Christmas and Easter or Passover are not separate events. They're one in the same. No lamb could be a sacrificial lamb unless his birth prepared the way. It's also interesting. Is the band coming? I was like, did I just say that in my head? I didn't vocalize it. Okay, right. It's interesting that he was wrapped in white swaddling cloths at his birth. He was wrapped in white linen in his burial. And the bride will be dressed in white linen, fine clothes, on his return at the marriage supper of the Lamb. I want to end just by reading this one passage. In Revelation 5:12, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Amen.